Good morning. It's a very tough church to keep a secret in. Thank you, Peter. Great to see everyone here this morning. A warm welcome to each and every one of you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And we all come together today to celebrate the birthday of Elvis Presley, who celebrated his birthday when he was around on this very day. Marge, over to you. Thank you.
Yes, happy birthday, Ian. He said he's just doing up to December birthdays today, so he doesn't have to put his pennies in, so we'll have to make sure he does in January. Announcements. A bridal shower for Megan Helm, bride-elect of Justin Gill, will be held here on Sunday, January the 29th at 2 o'clock. And of course, you're all, everyone, welcome. Annual reports. Today is the deadline for getting them into Michelle. Ladies Christian Fellowship is on January the 12th at 2 o'clock. Next Sunday is Family Worship with Holy Communion. And please note that the annual general meeting has been changed to Monday, January the 30th, and not Tuesday, January the 31st, as it was previously announced. Our church family photo display in the foyer hallway is in need of some updating, and Wilma, Larie, Diana, and Corrine are taking on this task. So if you have a copy of a picture that was taken last year for the new directory, it will be put up if you get it to them. And if you were not included in the directory or wish to use another photo, you can supply one to the ladies by February the 1st. Thursday morning Bible study will begin on January the 12th. They're starting a new session called Discerning the Voice of God. Everyone is welcome, and see Sandy for booklets, which cost they're $11.50 each. So if you wish to take part, let her know, please. Lita is having trouble with her tape machine that she tapes the sermon on every Sunday. She needs one that goes tape to tape. I'm not very technical, but she said it's one that will record tapes and she can record it onto another tape. Is that right, Lita? If anyone has an older one that they're not using that still is workable and knows how this works, if you could get in touch with Lita so she could use it. The one she's using has finally given up the ghost. All the new library books are in the library and now ready to take out that the ladies have purchased over the last few months, so go in and have a look at the new ones that are there. Pat would like to make an announcement, please.
Good morning, everyone. Due to the fact that McKinnons are going to be celebrating a 50th wedding anniversary this year, the family or adult supper is not going to be taking place. I don't know why she just doesn't want to come back early and do it, but you know, each to their own. No, we wish them well on their holiday and don't expect them to come back and do it. So Marge has asked if myself and my troop of players would consider doing a theater presentation. And so we are. So it will be on Saturday, February the 11th. It has a starring cast of people you will recognize from the Christmas Eve presentation, Dan and Marianne and Ian and Larie and Claire and Dale. And it's very funny. I have to keep reminding the cast that they are not supposed to laugh. So if they're having a hard time getting through it, you know you're in for some wonderful laughs. So the cost of admission to come and see this wonderful performance on February the 11th, you have two choices. Bring a dessert, or there'll be a little jar for a cash donation. And next Sunday, I'm going to put up a sign-up sheet just so that we have some idea of how many people will be bringing dessert, how many people just want to come. So please keep that in mind, that Saturday, February the 11th. Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Pat. Are there any other announcements? Thanks, Ellen.
If anyone didn't hear that, Alan was just saying there's a new list of greeters posted up there. It's about that long. And he says your name is almost certain to be on it somewhere. So check the greeters list out there. Also in the foyer, you'll see there is a tub out there. And it is, it's going to be there all the time now. And it's for anyone who wants to make any donations of non-perishable food items for local families. When I say local families, it's going to stay right here. When we do a drive for the food bank, we get donations and we send them back out to Olds. But this is going to stay here, because every now and then there is a need right here in the village or in the very close proximity of the area for hampers, you know, and that's what that's going to be served for. So it's going to be there. Anytime when you're doing your grocery shopping, see what's on offer and get an extra one or an extra two and pop them in the tub there for the needy families in the area. So that's there. Now then, we're going to do birthdays. We are going to do November and December because of all the excitement and the activity that was going on. We didn't get to do them. And there is a special bonus. If you had a November or a December birthday, in addition to getting an amazing gift from our little birthday box here, you also get a nice goodie bag in the basket here. And all you have to do is give me all your money in here. So, November and December birthdays, we celebrate them right now. And a happy birthday and many happy returns to that multitude of people who celebrated their birthday with us. I hope you're all happy and enjoying your birthdays. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Psalm 29, we read these words. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. We further worship the Lord with our approach choruses. And I invite Kathy to come on up here. And I think Laurie's going to play for us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Let's stand. We're going to sing out of the Red Chorus book, and of course, it'll be up on the bulletin there. We're going to start with number 224. We will glorify the King of Kings. Let's stand.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Hosts, who is the great.
Hold it, hold it. I think we got two different keys going on here. Somebody's going to have to figure out what key we're playing in. Mom, have you got yours turned up still from earlier? No, you're in the wrong key, sweet pie. Is this turned up?
You want it turned up?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's not.
Well. I guess you're going to have to choose which one to listen to then, because we got two different keys. Lori, bang it out there, girl. Come on, maybe just push the volume down a little bit until we figure out where the keys
which
are.
Which one do you want?
We're on 224, but you're in the wrong key. Because Lori has only one key.
Sorry.
So if you would just press...
No, fine.
You got it? All right, now we're going. We're going to start again, and we're going to really belt it out.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. We look to the reigns in majesty. We will bow before the throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Ah, that's the way to start the new year. And our second chorus is number 233. There's something about that name. Wonderful, wonderful thoughts here too. And I think this is a, let's see, yes, this is a twice through.
Jesus, 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 there's something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
A smile makes it sound better.
Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Ah, that's beautiful. And our chorus to prepare for worship is number 285. Let's see. 285, is that what I said? I got to find the name here. Oh, I know. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I could have looked up, couldn't I? There you go. Look up and smile. Okay. We'll sing this one twice here, too.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels and see glint in His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
We better do that one again.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Amen and thank you.
Thanks to Kathy and Laurie for those beautiful approach choruses. Thank you. We bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you. Each of us, Father, thanks you because you have called us individually to be here in this holy place on this special day, on your day, Lord. And we are so thankful. And we come into this place, Lord, and we are immediately surrounded and enveloped by your wonderful love for us. Your love shines from the faces of our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather in the hugs and the smiles and the handshakes. We feel your power, Lord. We feel your grace. And so, Holy Father, as we worship you this day, we pray that each of us, for each of us, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and we pray, Lord, that we may all hear your voice. For surely, Lord, you have called us for a purpose. You have something to say to each and every one of us. And we pray, gracious Lord, that you will accept the praise, the worship, the honor, and the glory that we bring and offer to the name of Jesus. For it is his name that we come, and it is in his name that we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And our responsive reading is taken from the 29th Psalm, verses 1 to 4 and 10 to 11. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. But we ask you, Father, to take these gifts and to take the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. The children would like to come and join me, please. I had more people for birthdays than what I've got here. I think at the beginning I should have started by saying, who hasn't had a birthday today? And I could have given them a present. That would have been good, right? Hi, it's nice to see you all. You know, when people meet up and they greet each other and you see someone, sometimes people start by saying, what's new? Anybody ever say that to you? What's new? No? Okay. Let's think of something else to talk about. What's new? People say it all the time. And if I was to say that to you now, what's new, you would probably have a lot of new things to talk about, because not long ago it was Christmas, wasn't it? So if I said to you, what's new, what kind of things would you tell me about? About what? Bouncy balls. Yeah, that would be, that's new. If you just got some bouncy balls, yeah. A trip to San Diego. Whoa, that would be nice and new, wouldn't it? So really, if you thought about it, if I said what's new and you thought about Christmas, you could tell me all kinds of things. But Christmas is gone. Now is a different time of the year. So if I said to you right now what's new, what would you say? Last week, we were all wishing each other a happy new year. So what's new? Year. It's a new year, isn't it? It's a new year. And when we have a new year, some people make what we call New Year's resolutions. Do you know what they are? Yeah.
So you have to make something, so you'll do something like, I'll lose weight or stop smoking. Or
so you can... So he's going to stop smoking and stop drinking beer. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But you're right. We make resolutions and we promise we're going to do things or stop doing things so that we can be a better person. Now then, how many of you made a resolution from now on to keep your bedroom tidy? Oh, look at them. Are you mums watching this? I've got hands going up here. Yep. What's that? You're making one now to keep your room tidy. Okay. Who made a resolution to be a better behaved person? Whoa, look at them all. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll bet. And who made a resolution to get better grades at school? Are you all watching here? They're great resolutions. Excellent. The new year, it's a time for a new start, a new beginning, a fresh start in our lives, okay? And so we're determined we're going to be better people. We're going to live better lives. Now then, John the Baptist, we've heard a bit about John the Baptist recently. He came and he was baptizing people, and a baptism is offering some people something new. What does a baptism offer you that's new? Yeah. Yeah, it offers the Lord. The Lord is new in that person's life, and that person's life will be renewed. They will live a new life. So John the Baptist said, come and get baptized, have a new life, and live your life for God instead of living it for yourself. That's what a baptism is about. And you know who was there? You know who got baptized by John the Baptist? Anybody know? Who knows?
The Lord.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Jesus came and Jesus got baptized because Jesus, although he's God with us and he didn't really need to repent of any sins, he got baptized so that he could be just like we are. One of the people, just like us.
And he came to be with us and to be one of us. And that's why this gospel reading today is not so much about John the Baptist, it's more about Jesus' baptism. Okay, so shall we just say a little prayer now? Lord Jesus, we thank you that when you were baptized, you identified with us. You showed us the way that we can have a fresh start and a new start in our lives. And we thank you for that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Kathy.
Okay, people.
Let's sing.
Let's crowd around here. I can give you a good resolution that everybody can do. It's very easy. And it makes a big, big difference to everybody. And you know what that might be? Are you guys listening to? I learned it from my mom and dad. And you can learn it from me. And everybody can learn it together. Keep a big smile on your face. Make other people happy. It's something you should share with them all the time. And it makes everybody feel better, including you. So, our resolution is to keep on bubbling in our hearts, right?
It's bubbling, it's bubbling, but it's bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, rejoicing, since Jesus made me whole. Folks don't understand it, but I've been kept quiet. It's bubbling, 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 day and night. Excellent. Well, off to a good start at the beginning of the year.
Kathy, after the week you've just had, I don't know how you did that. Thank you. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 9, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him. Come to our time of prayer. A few moments ago I made mention of the fact that Kathy was doing all this bubbling, and I said I don't know how you did that after the week that you've just had. And what I was referring to is that Kathy's dad's not too well right now. He's in hospital up in Edmonton, and Kathy and Richard went flying up to Edmonton to spend some time with him, and to see what they could do to help to just get him through the situation he's in. And when you're dashing around like that, you've got things like that weighing on your mind about your dad, and it's kind of hard. It wears you. And to be able to come here and start all this bubbling stuff, incredible. The Lord is with you, I guess. Well done. And so we, in our prayers, we remember people who are having a tough time in their lives. We rejoice with those who have good things going on, and we think about those who are having a tough time. Last Sunday, Lita and Alan weren't here, and what a lot of people didn't know was that they were down at the Foothills Hospital. Well, Lita had a little bit of a fluttering going on in the chest there, but she's all right. It was a muscle spasm. But you know what the doctor said to her? You've got to learn to take it easy. Lita, take it easy. That's a contradiction of terms. When you see Lita, you ask her if she's taking it easy, because she's supposed to. You slow down. And you keep an eye on her, Alan. I know you will do. But the Lord cares about each and every one of us, and he hears all of our prayers. And I know that you will pray for those whom the Lord has laid upon your heart. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving Father, you are the Lord of our beginnings and our endings, and all that lies in between. We praise you, Father, for how you have poured out upon us blessing after blessing, for how you have reached out to us, for how you have come to us and spoken to us. And so we ask you, Lord, to help us to live the faith that you have given us. We thank you, O Lord, for how Christ came among us and identified himself completely with us, going so far as to take upon himself our sin, our suffering, and finally our death. Help us, Father, to not hold back ourselves from identifying with him and with the church that our Lord Jesus established. May we indeed be united with him, so that we might share with him and his resurrection. Help us, Lord God, to commit ourselves to Jesus and to the family that he has called us to be part of, to be members of his visible body here in this place and in our communities, to be his disciples, his feet and his hands, his eyes and his ears, his voice and his salt and light, day by day. Lord God, in our hearts and in our minds are those people whom you have placed there for us to care about, to watch out for, and to pray for. And in these few moments of silence, we pray, Father, that you will hear and accept our private petitions for those in need. And we ask you, Lord, to guide us and inspire us that we might reach out further to them in your blessed name. We pray in silence. Gracious Father, we stand at the beginning of a new year. And none of us knows, Father, what lies ahead of us. We do not know what highs will come our way or what lows may come our way. But what we do know, Lord, is that we are in your care. We are in your hands. And no matter what comes our way, we know, gracious Father, that you will be with us. And we know, Father, that you will give us strength. You will inspire us and uplift us, so that in all things we may give glory and praise to your holy name. And so we pray, Father, for ourselves. We are aware of our own shortcomings. We are aware of our own sinful ways and our weaknesses. By the grace of your Spirit, Lord, we pray that you will forgive us for our sins. We ask you, Lord, that again by your Spirit that you will make us strong to resist temptation as all around us. We are surrounded, Lord, and we pray that you will help us to put on the whole armour of Christ our Saviour. Grant us, Lord, the grace of your presence not only in the year ahead, but especially in the week ahead. Strengthen us as we seek to lift high the name of Jesus in all that we say and do. And we pray, Holy Father, that in our own small way, that each of us may be a channel of your blessing to all whom we meet. We pray, gracious Father, in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our gospel reading comes from Mark, reading from chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And our epistle comes from the Acts of the Apostles, reading chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all."
Thanks to Corrine for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we're going to sing a little hymn, which is better known to us as one of our choruses. It's in the hymn book, it's number 247, and in true chorus fashion we will sing it twice. 247, Spirit of the Living God.
Spirit of the Living
just at this juncture in time, I want to say a big thank you to our worship team who led the worship service last Sunday. They did a great job, and I'd like to say a special thank you to Sandra, who also did a splendid job in presenting the message. So thanks to each and every one of them. It's great to be part of a church family that is so talented, so overflowing with talent, that they can just take over and do such a great job, and I am thankful for that. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable unto thee, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In Princeton, New Jersey, there is a legendary tale about the eminent scientist Albert Einstein. It seems that whilst he was walking in front of a local inn, a local hotel, he was mistaken for a bellboy. A wealthy lady, as she got down from her luxury sedan, spotted him there, thought he was the bellboy, and she instructed him to carry her luggage into the hotel. And according to the story, Einstein does so. Carries her luggage in, he receives a small tip, and then continues on his way to his office, no doubt to further ponder the mysteries of the universe. Now, whether this story is true or not, it is delightful. It's a great story, because we are able to savor from the beginning of the story a secret that the wealthy lady did not know. This strange-looking, ruffled little man is the most celebrated intellect of our time. Because we knew that at the beginning of that little story, we could enjoy it better, we could savor it and think, what a great story this is. Some stories gain their power and interest from our knowing the secret right from the start. And right at the very beginning of the Gospel of St. Mark, the writer lets us in on the secret. And the secret of this Gospel is the identity of Jesus Christ. In the very first sentence of this Gospel story, Mark lifts the veil and he lets us know the secret when he says, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And that is the secret. That is what this whole gospel, this whole book is about. Unless we missed it, this truth is confirmed in the gospel's opening episode, when Jesus, coming up out of the waters of his baptism, sees the Holy Spirit descending upon him like a dove from the heavens. The heavens, which the gospel tells us have been torn apart. And he hears the very voice of God the Father telling the secret. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And so, our lectionary gospel reading set for this day is not so much about John the Baptist, although it tells about him, but it's really about the baptism of Jesus. The baptism of Jesus. I read this week about a young man who had just been appointed to his very first congregation as the minister. Just out of school, just out of seminary, this was his first congregation. And he and his wife went to visit his family on Saturday afternoon for lunch. And the preacher's mum sensed that her daughter-in-law didn't seem to be too happy. She didn't seem to be comfortable and relaxed. But not wanting to be seen as a nosy and meddlesome mother-in-law, she pretended not to notice. Not that mothers-in-law ever are like that. But as they were leaving, everything became clear, because she overheard her daughter-in-law say to her son, "All right, we can go to the church, and you can practice baptizing me just one more time. But I'm worried about when you get your first funeral. You are not going to practice on me." We don't really need to practice baptizing, but we do need to practice our baptism. To practice our baptism. Our three scripture readings today from the Old and New Testaments and from the Epistle each speaks of the involvement of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis 1, in 1-5, we read, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." What was hovering over the waters? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, hovering over the waters right at the very beginning. In our gospel reading, tells of the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus like a dove when the heavens were torn apart. And it says he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then our reading from the Acts of the Apostles tells us that some of the followers of Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, but they had never heard about the Holy Spirit. And when Paul baptized them in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit came upon them. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit comes upon people when they are baptized. A few years ago, during the upheaval in the former Soviet Union, a story appeared about the fact that when he was an infant, Mikhail Gorbachev, the then leader of that country, well, his grandmother had him baptized in a communist country. This man, his granny, had him baptized. Good for his grandmother. And when the Soviet Union changed, this is the man who was in charge. The man whose willingness to see and do things differently led to the dramatic changes that took place in that former godless communist state. This man who was baptized at the insistence of his grandmother when he was a child. Think about the conversion and the baptism of the former slave trader, John Newton, who wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace. And after his baptism, there followed his ministry of healing and grace by God's Holy Spirit. And this ministry of his continues right through to this day, through the wonderful hymns that he wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in his moments of trial and despair, Martin Luther stated that he was always uplifted and inspired when he remembered, "I am baptized. I am baptized." And these thoughts inspired the Holy Spirit within him to raise him, to raise his spirits. In baptism, we are adopted by Christ as his own. And through those who are baptized, the Holy Spirit works mighty deeds. Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the great German theologian, this is the man who strongly opposed Adolf Hitler. He wrote a book entitled The Cost of Discipleship. And this book of his is actually a commentary on the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, he draws a distinction between cheap grace and costly grace. Cheap grace and costly grace. Cheap grace, he states, is going to church to hear the comfortable words, the good news about God's unconditional love, then snuggling down in that good news as though it were a down comforter, leaving the church with a warm, peaceful feeling, but not allowing Christ to challenge the way you are now living. Cheap, no change, no cost to you. But Jesus calls people to repent. And repent doesn't just mean asking for forgiveness of your sins. It means change. It means change our ways, change our lifestyle, change our whatever it is that the Spirit is directing us to change. And doing this bears a cost. And this is costly grace. When I told you earlier about that brand new church minister who was practicing baptism on his long-suffering wife, I made the statement, we don't really need to practice baptizing, but we do need to practice our baptism. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes of cheap grace and costly grace, costly grace is practicing our baptism, genuinely following Jesus and putting into practice in our lives his teachings. And when we practice Jesus' teaching in our lives, there is almost inevitably a cost. He calls us to give up things. He calls us to change things. He calls us to be different. I often make reference to legends. I like talking about legends. And I'm always uncovering new ones, which I find are interesting and useful. And I've just come across one this week, and it's the legend of St. Anthony of the Desert. Anybody heard of that one yet? The legend of St. Anthony of the Desert. You are about to be enlightened. When he was a young man, Anthony decided that he was going to dedicate his life to God in the hope that he might become a saint. He wanted to be a saint. Now remember, a saint is a holy person. Is a holy person who lives their life, who lives their baptism. So, with this in mind, he left home and his family and he journeyed into the hot sands of the desert where he eventually found a dark cave. And in effect, he became a hermit. He thought, I can commune with God here. I will be alone and nothing will disturb me. He prayed day and night. But he was disturbed. And he was greatly disturbed by many temptations and many evil manifestations. And after many months, the temptations and the manifestations left him. And he was alone with God. And then one day God spoke to him and told him to leave his cave, go to a distant town, and to find the local shoemaker. He was told that the shoemaker would give him shelter and accommodation for a few days. And so the hermit left his cave and he walked across the hot desert sands and everything worked as God said it would. He stayed with the shoemaker and his family for 3 days. And during this time, these two men spent a lot of time talking together. And the hermit learned a lot about the shoemaker. But he gave away very little about himself, even though the family were curious about this guy. He was a hermit. He lived in the desert in a cave. So when his time was up there, after 3 days, he said goodbye to them and he walked back across the hot desert sands and he went back to his cave. And as he was going there, all the time he was wondering why God had sent him on this, what seemed to him to be a pointless journey. And when he got back, God questioned the hermit and he said to him, "What was this shoemaker like?" And the hermit said, "Well, he's a simple man. He's got a small home and he has a wife and a baby and they love each other greatly. He has a small shop where he makes shoes. He works very hard, but he makes very little money, but he still gives to the needy and to the poor. He and his wife pray each day and they have lots of friends." And God listened to the hermit, Anthony, and he said to him, "You, Anthony, will become a great saint, but the shoemaker and his wife will be great saints as well." The legend of St. Anthony of the Desert describes what sainthood is all about. And it is about leading a life of holiness. Today's gospel reading, whilst describing the career of John the Baptist, it centers on the actual baptism of Jesus. Baptism is the first and the premier sacrament of the church. It is a call to discipleship that may be lived in many different ways. Some are called to become a hermit. Some are called to live a pure life of simplicity. We are called to live a life of holiness in many, many different ways. But the call for all who follow the footsteps of Jesus is to live a holy life. To live a holy life. And St. Anthony, in that legend, learned that there are many different ways to sainthood, many different ways to living a holy life, many ways to practice our baptism. So Jesus entered the Jordan River and was baptized by his cousin John. And we know that Jesus did not need to be baptized, but he did. He was baptized to inaugurate his public ministry by identifying with what St. Luke describes as all the people. Jesus identified with all the people. Jesus allied himself with the faults and with the failures, with the pains and with the problems of all the broken and hurting people who had flocked to the Jordan River. And it demonstrates that Jesus, to this very day, by his Spirit, identifies in the same way with all the people. He identifies with you and he identifies with me. And he strengthens us and he supports us and he gives to us the grace of the presence of his Spirit. By wading into the waters with them, he took his place beside us, amongst us. He is God, yet he is one of us. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. We sing our closing hymns. First of all, we're going to sing this little hymn, "God Who Made the Earth." I got this hymn into my mind, put there by the Spirit of God, no doubt. Started searching for it, and I searched and searched. Come on up, Kathy. There's your words for it. Searched and searched for it, and eventually I found it underneath Peggy. In Peggy's organ bench there, she's got some old hymn books. And in there she's got, can you remember the old United Church hymn book, that old navy blue one, the hymnary? It was in there, saved by Peggy. So we stand and sing to the glory of God, "God Who Made the Earth." that hymn in Sunday school?
I think I may have.
Great old hymn. That's part of our foundations. It sticks there. We sing To Be God's People, 312.
Almighty Father, give us a vision of a dying world that needs your love and care. We see the need, the yearning for our Savior. In Jesus' name, grant this our prayer. To be God's people.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore.